I'm John Kroll. This is a special No Limits. 5 years ago tomorrow, this show went on the air for the first time. Today on No Limits, we're going to take a look back. We'll explore how the show got started, and we will revisit some highlights and low points from the more than 400 shows we have done. We also will hear again from some old friends. This show always has been a continuing conversation, one in which people drop in as they can. We hope you'll do so today and share your No Limits memories. Call 866-476-3881, email nolimits@wfyi.org, Facebook is No Limits WFYI, Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. This is a special No Limits. It's going to be one in which we take a look back and a look forward. We're marking the fifth anniversary that this show has been on the air. I know that shocks me too. As one of my friends said when I told him that, it says it just proves you've got a face for radio. So, but if you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi. Or on Twitter at WFYI. And I would encourage you, if you want to call in, please share some of your favorite memories from the past 5 years. Or if you've got suggestions for directions we could take the show, we would love to hear from you. I'm joined in the studio right now by WFYI's Vice President for Content, Richard Miles. Richard, welcome. It feels strange to say welcome to the studio, since I'm sure you spend a fair amount of time here.
Welcome. Not as much as I used to anymore, but thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. Nice to talk about the show.
Well, and I wanted to talk, one of the reasons we're going to talk internally here is we wanted to give people an idea of really how the show got started, you know, what its function was supposed to be, and to some degree, how it works, how it comes together.
I thought the magic of radio, we weren't supposed to pull the curtain so that people can't see what we're doing.
No one wants to see the sausage being made. But so why don't we start? Because really, you know, I did not enter the picture on this at the very beginning of the discussion. You guys already were working on a concept of trying to put a show together. Could you talk a little bit about what that process was, what the motivation for this was?
Sure. The as all companies do, you know, going through cycles of strategic planning, where you try to vision where you want to be and what you want to do, and you look around in the community and you think, how can we be of the most help to people in Central Indiana with the resources that we have? We've got a TV station, we've got a radio station, we have a website. What is it we can do to make the city better, and what should we be focused on as far as content goes? Because you can't cover everything. And in that planning, we had sort of settled on four areas that we thought made some sense for WFYI to sort of zone in on, and those ended up being health, because we had a long time relationship with the School of Medicine at IU, and we had a radio show called Sound Medicine, and had great content coming out of there. Education, that was a big area that we wanted to cover. Arts and culture, that's sort of a natural. And then the last one being sort of news and public affairs, which was probably the thing that 5 years ago we were the weakest in. We didn't really have a whole lot of resources put into that bucket. But as we were looking around at the newspapers that were shrinking, talk radio that was kind of disappearing and becoming less and less news and information and more, you know, punditry, people telling us their opinions, and sort of TV news really becoming focused on sort of following cop cars and ambulances and the sports scores and weather. And so we looked around and said, you know, so what's our place there? If we want to do news and information, how can we do it in a way that's sort of useful for the community and covering those areas? A place where Central Indiana could have a discussion with one another to talk about sort of the big subject of the day was the way we decided to go. So so we decided, well, public radio is a great place to have a call-in show, a chat show. Let's take some money and put it into building the physical resources you need to do that and the staff. And then, oh, yeah, we need to find a host. So we got lucky that that we had some great people who came along and helped us get it started, and you included. So thank you for the 5 years.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And I guess one of the questions I get asked when I'm out a lot is, where did the title of the show come from? I mean, how did you come up with No Limits? Because that was already in place before, you know, before I said yes. So
when we were talking about the show, and what was going to be about politics? Was it going to be about business? What was it going to be about? And we kept having these discussions about the directions we could go and the topics we could take on. And we kept saying, well, we don't want to exclude that, and we don't want to exclude this. And finally, we were like, we just need to be able to talk about whatever the community is talking about at that point. We need to be flexible enough to be able to say, yes, we were going to talk about chickens on next week, but you know what? Other thing has happened, and so we need to be able to talk about that, and we need to be able to react to it, which was sort of a new way of working for us. We have a long history in doing great television shows, TV production, and I know we've got a great one coming up with Bill Hudnett, but that's a process that takes months to sort of plan and film and edit and polish, and you know, and so we had lots of sort of muscle memory on how to do that kind of thing. We didn't have much way of saying, you know, there's something that's happening in the community this week, next week, and we really need to talk about it. And so we wanted a name that sort of reflected that approach, and we kind of wanted to let people know, you're going to tune in on a Tuesday or a Thursday. It could be something that you're really interested in. We hope you are. But we didn't want to give it a name which sort of said, this is what it's going to be.
And so that's how No Limits evolved.
That's
and
how
you
no
just
limits
said
evolves.
It's described really the function of the show. And you mentioned the fact that it's a Tuesday or Thursday. We didn't start out that way. We started out as one day a week. What was sort of the thinking about expanding to twice
a
week?
Strictly budget related. It was looking at how much resources do we have, what are all the great things that we're doing here at WFYI on TV, on radio, on web, in the community with events. And so how much of that do you carve out to start a new project? So one day a week was what we thought was realistic. So we did that. We've gotten up to 2 days a week. We've had some other Indiana public radio stations sort of join in and carry some of the shows. We've done some statewide shows on special topics, particularly around elections. So getting from one day to 2 days a week, you know, was a step. But I think the ultimate goal for us, if we can find the right funding and the right people, would be to get this to 5 days a week. There's no shortage of things to talk about.
No. So
an eventual goal would be to get there.
Well, and I got to say, normally, at least from my perspective, one of the things I keep in my head all the time when I approach the show is that the show is not about the host. And that's one of the differences between this and a lot of other talk radio shows, that if during the hour we are on the air, you learn more about me than you do about the subject or the guests, then that's not a good hour of radio. That was not something that was executed well. And that, you know, has been one of sort of the driving things here, is that I think this is a place where people can come together and talk not so much about personalities as they can about issues, about events, and about, you know, dare I say it, principles involved, that some of the arguments have been very well-toned. You kind of set us up here. We are going to play some memories. And I guess that before I let you slip away here, I should ask, in the 5 years, what is your favorite or most memorable No Limits moment?
You know, there's been a bunch of great ones. You know, the first show, maybe even the demo that you did. I mean, I remember recording that and thinking that this is something that I think we can really pull off. We've talked about it for a long time, but maybe here's something that we can actually execute.
See, all I remember is being terrified, but that's a whole other story.
Well, then you covered it up very well, so well done. I think probably the thing that's created the most buzz and that people talk to me about, and I'm sure they talk to you about, is John Green. Mm-hmm. And just sort of, we literally broke the internet that day. We busted the website. So many people were trying to stream us from around the world because of the fan base that he brings, that we literally closed down and overwhelmed the technology that we had in place at that point to handle calls and to handle people trying to listen to the stream. So that was clearly a favorite. But before I do run one away, I do feel a need to share some of the pride, I hope, with this. Mm-hmm. And that is, while the station was planning what we wanted to do with the show, I had just come off of a real great opportunity to spend a year with the Stanley K. Lacey Association. So a big shout out to Class 31 of mm-hmm. SKL, because it was going through that year and learning about what are the major issues that are facing Indianapolis in that process. And as we did our final year retreat at the end of that year, so what do you learn? And most importantly, what are you going to do about it? It seems sort of natural that, you know, working at a radio station, that we could create some kind of platform in which we could, you know, have ongoing discussions about the things that are really affecting this community. So I wanted to share the birth of this with those friends from Class 31, because they helped get it off the ground too.
Well, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't thank all of the people, you know, who tune in. I mean, the show obviously wouldn't work if people didn't listen, people didn't call in, people didn't send us notes, didn't send us story suggestions or show suggestions or anything.
As much as we love the sound of our own voices, it's nice.
To some degree. I mean, for me, the appeal always has been that I get to come in here for an hour twice a week. Inevitably, I get to talk to really smart people, you know, who know something about the subjects, quite a bit about the subjects that they're brought in. I don't think I have ever had an hour doing this show where I haven't learned something. And that, I can't say that about all the hours of my day, all the time.
That's
so
the magic of public radio.
It is indeed.
It's one of the places where the information that I get as a consumer, because I'm a huge consumer of public radio, obviously, that's not fine-tuned and curated by me. I mean, the things that show up in my Facebook feed, I've picked. The music that I listen to, I've picked. The things that mm-hmm. you know, show up on Twitter, I've picked. And so it sort of ends up closing my world a little bit into the things that I'm really hyper-interested in. Public radio, mm-hmm. I tune it on because I know I'm going to hear a story on Morning Edition that I knew nothing about, you know, mm-hmm. and learn something. And so if we're continuing in that tradition, at least somewhat on a local level, then that's brilliant.
If you are just joining us, we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of No Limits today. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. Well, because one of the things we've been able to do is have very thoughtful conversations with people who have made a difference in the community. One of those I'd like to play right now. It's a conversation, one of two conversations we had with former Indianapolis Mayor Bill Hudnut.
There's been a loss of civility, a loss of collaborative feeling, and those C words are very important, collegiality and all that, cooperation, and even compromise. And now there seems to be an ideological rigidity that prevents people from collaborating and compromising. And compromise is like in a marriage, you have to compromise, and so you do in politics to get things done. I never believed in my way or the highway. I always believed, let's work it out. Come, let us reason around this table together. Keep on talking and figuring out how you can be creative, even if you have to have a plan B, in order to accomplish your objective.
That was former Indianapolis Mayor Bill Hudnut. We talked with him actually twice. We talked with him last December just before he announced that he was battling congestive heart failure and throat cancer. We talked with him again in May, which is when this clip was drawn, and at NPR studios in Washington, D.C. should note that this interview is also going to be featured in an upcoming television program on the TV side of the operation. Next Thursday evening at 7:30, it will be called Bill Hudnut, Twilight Reflections, Evening Meditations. If you are just joining us, we are celebrating the fifth anniversary of No Limits today. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. We're going to be coming back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the future of the show and how it fits into the WFYI universe. We also are going to revisit some other significant moments from the show's history. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are marking the fifth anniversary of this show being on the air. Actually, tomorrow would be the actual date. And we're taking a look back and a look forward. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Just before the break, we listened to former Indianapolis Mayor Bill Hudnut talking about the decline of civility in public life. And, you know, I'm uncomfortable talking about the things the show does well because, you know, frankly, I think that's the audience's job to judge and not ours. But I will say one of the things that I take the most satisfaction in hearing from people who listen to the show is they appreciate the fact that we do try to create a forum in which people can talk about difficult things without getting angry and without a lot of the rancor that we now see in public life. And they see the show as a kind of oasis in that regard in the middle of what is, a pretty angry desert right now. That has been a persistent theme, actually, when we have talked to leading political figures. I think the format of the show at times also allows them to talk more thoughtfully about bigger issues and bigger questions, and we have had some memorable moments there. One of them, I think, is when we had former Indiana governor, former Indiana U.S. Senator Evan Bayh on the program at the time that there was a lot of speculation that he might be coming back to run for governor again here in the state. During the course of the hour he was with us, he made it pretty clear that that was very unlikely. In fact, he all but flatly said no. The only thing that seemed to stop him from doing that was he'd told people he wouldn't take it off the table until after a certain date. But what we found fascinating were the reasons that he said he wasn't likely, and one of them was just the theme that Bill Hudnut was talking about. We're going to play a clip from that interview as well. This is former Indiana Governor, former U.S. Senator Evan Bayh.
I enjoy trying to reconcile differences and bring people together. That just doesn't seem to be the dominant theme right now in our politics. It's unfortunately, from my point of view, very divided along partisan lines. And so given the current makeup of the state legislature and the way the maps are drawn, I just wonder if my style of leadership would be feasible right now. There's a saying I'm fond of, John, that the meek may inherit the earth, but they don't get elected to high public office. So, you know, it's always been something of a full contact sport. That said, today it just seems to be so unrelentingly negative that, I'd rather have a positive role to play, positive contribution to make. Mm-hmm. But I thought given the honor of being governor, given the fact that people were asking me, given the fact that I'd had that privilege and so enjoyed being able to make the contribution to our state, I shouldn't just cavalierly dismiss it out of hand. I should think about it, but not keep people waiting, long if, in fact, I was not going to make that run.
That was former Indiana Governor Evan Bayh, and he was talking with us last August, basically announcing that he was not going to come back and run for governor, and saying part of the reason was that he didn't enjoy the process nearly as much. The decline of civility was one of the issues that bothered him. We're replaying these clips as part of a celebration or commemoration of the 5th anniversary of No Limits on the Air. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, on Twitter at wfyi, or you can do what a listener named Dee has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Dee, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and how are you today?
I'm doing very, very well. For a guy who's 5 years down the road, I'm doing very well.
Well, that's still a young sprout, as shows go, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. A lot of people don't make it this far, so I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for you calling. What's on your mind, Dee?
Thank you. I would like to applaud your efforts over these years in bringing to the public's attention the challenges that persons with disabilities in our community, in our state, in our nation face. And two shows come to mind. The most recent is one where Kelly Hartman was one of your guests, and she talked about her efforts in her program Outside the Box for individuals with intellectual disabilities. And the second involves the criminal justice arena, and it was a while back, and I don't remember the guests. One was a detective, and I just recall that he was interested in the concerns that I had regarding people with mental illness who end up in our criminal justice system. So thank you very much for doing that with your program, and I hope in the next 5 years that you will continue to let individuals know about these citizens who just want to be like everybody else in our state.
Well, Dee, thank you very much for both the call and the compliment. I would be remiss if I will accept the compliment on behalf of a lot of people. I have been very, very fortunate here to work with some exceptional people, starting with this show has had two exceptional producers from the get-go, both of whom are good friends of mine, Sharon Alseth and Shannon Cagle. A lot of what you like about the show is their work. And we're blessed to be part of a great news team. I'm joined now, actually, by WFYI's news director, Michelle Johnson, who's a driving force behind a lot of those shows that you like. But Dee, before I let you go, I do want to thank you for listening and thank you for calling in. You make this a very special experience for me.
Well, thank you very much, and best wishes for at least another 5 years.
Thanks much. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, Michelle, again, like with Richard, I feel a little strange saying welcome to the program since you're so much a part of it, but it's good to have you in here.
Thank you so much, John, and thank you for all your work over the past 5 years, and for you, Dee, for calling us just now, and reminding me of something, which is that, you know, one of the lovely things about a program that is an hour long is that you really can take a deep dive into things that you cannot otherwise treat in abbreviated soundbite driven ways. This is a program that breathes. I like this. You know what I like to say about this show?
I was going to try to lead you to that, but thank
you. This is how I think about the show. That No Limits is a show that breathes. It doesn't vent. There's a big, big difference, I think.
Well, and I'll say one of the things that I have enjoyed, and, you know, I'll say this to the audience. You're only going to hear me say what I think once every 5 years. That's going to continue to be the rule. But what I have liked is also the way the show has evolved. That I have a fairly low threshold for boredom. If it were exactly the same show week after week after week, I probably would have lost interest a long time ago. One of the things that I think is exciting is, you know, you are doing some things, obviously, to ramp up the news coverage that WFYI is doing. You've done some special projects reporting and all of that. Is that we can create a kind of venue for people not only to understand that story, but also understand what goes into getting those kinds of stories by having the reporters on the air talking about how they had to work to get them. Could you talk a little bit? And that's been an innovation you brought to it, frankly. You know, it wasn't anybody else. So could you talk a little bit about, you know, your thinking in doing that?
You mean in terms of inviting the reporters to come on and talk about their work?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're a longtime reporter yourself. You're longer than I'd like to acknowledge. You're made of reporting.
Mm-hmm.
I heard you say something. I've been listening to archives of the program, and I believe you said to, I don't remember now. It may have been Richard Lugar. I think you said something to him like, I've been interviewing you on and off since I was in high school, which made me laugh. I have to say.
Yeah, well, my first interview was Moses, but that's a whole other story.
but as you know, sometimes the richness of a story is in the backstory. And when you're a reporter and when you're producing radio, especially, you're making selection all the time about the most you're making judgments all the time about the most relevant detail, about the most compelling piece, and you're looking at all of the pieces of the puzzle, and you're trying to put them together in the most cohesive and coherent and succinct way that you can. But as a result of doing that and making those difficult decisions, a lot of things get left in your notebook. And so sometimes it's fun to pull that notebook out and sort of review the backstory of how you got there. And that's part of what I have really enjoyed about having the reporters who have been working on projects. Eric Weddle, who's just a great education reporter and has been working with us now for about the last 7 months now. Having Eric come on and talk about his work covering education at the State House and also on some other special projects. And Jake Harper, who's a health reporter for Side Effects Public Media, a new project of WFYI, coming on and talking about his exceptional work in Scott County on the HIV outbreak. It's been a wonderful affirmation for me, too, as the news director. It's been just a wonderful affirmation to me that you would want to have them on the program to talk about their work. And I hope that it's brought some greater understanding and enjoyment to listeners of this show as well.
We have got, we're talking about the fifth anniversary of No Limits, and actually I think we've got a call from Aaron that is pretty much right on Michelle's point. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to call and thank the programming format as well as people who work on the show and making sure that when you speak to your audience that you use informed, intelligent information rather than talking down to your audience. Because then it requires a better conversation.
Well, that's what we try to do. And I appreciate the call. But that's sort of been the animating spirit. I remember when we started the first show, Aaron, I told this little story about my grandfather, who was a very devout Republican, who had a very good friend, Southern Indiana guy. They were both from Southern Indiana. Who was a minister, Presbyterian minister, who was a liberal Democrat, New Deal Democrat, who actually went to Selma after Bloody Sunday and put his life and his career on the line to go down there because his congregation wasn't happy. They were very close friends, and they did not see the world the same way. They did not have the same political views, obviously. But they both had one shared belief, and that is that they could learn more by talking with, not at, each other, and by listening to each other. And that's one of the things that that I hope we accomplish with the show. We don't always do it, but I like to think that that is the goal, that we try to give a space in which people, in addition to talking, can listen to each other.
Aaron, I had some little buttons made, and they were inspired by the show. I had some, we had some little lapel buttons made, and the one I had made especially for John was one that says civic discourse.
Aaron, thank you very much for the call and for listening to the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I look forward to listening.
Thank you. Take care. Well, one of the things also that has been interesting is that we do have newsmakers who pop by, including the guy who is now the governor of the state of Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
A guy named Mike Pence, who stopped by when he was running in 2012. He has a standing invitation to come back at any time. We're going to listen to a little bit of that interview as well. How would your governorship look different from Mitch Daniels's?
Well, from the very early part of this campaign, as we brought together a group that I call my idea factory. Mm-hmm. I mean, that roadmap for Indiana, which your listeners can go to at roadmapforindiana.com, you'll see a lot of work that's been done by over 300 men and women around the state of Indiana. And what I said to them were two words, to your point.
Yeah.
And I said, I want our candidacy and in any administration I would lead to be about continuity and aspiration. Mm-hmm. All of last year, we talked about building an even better Indiana, mm-hmm. Meaning that I think we've built a better Indiana in the last 8 years. I think we've, as I said, I think in the practice of fiscal responsibility and the promotion of government reform, education reform, tax reform, workplace reform, we've set a brisk pace. But now I think our opportunity is to go from reform to results. Our opportunity is to produce the outcomes in good jobs and great schools that people are looking for. And our campaign is really about saying to people, yes, we have every intention of keeping Indiana on the course that we're on, but we want to aim even higher because with 250,000 people out of work, with 22% of our kids living in poverty, with 20,000 kids dropping out of school, John, it's clear we're not there yet. And so making sure that we continue to pursue the policies that are working and add to them the kind of common sense policies that will build on that momentum is the message of our campaign.
That was Governor Mike Pence. He stopped by in October of 2012 when the 2012 gubernatorial race was just heating up. It got to be quite close after that. I'm also talking with Michelle Johnson, who is the news director here at WFYI. Michelle, could you talk a little bit about, you know, this has become a place where newsmakers do come to have thoughtful discussion. I mean, it is, and that to some degree surprised me, because there's always that field of dreams question, you know, if you build it, will they come? You know, what role do you think it plays within the sort of political media framework and universe here in Indiana?
Well, I think it's really, I mean, I do think it's really important, and I believe very passionately that this is the kind of space that public media is uniquely positioned to provide, and that it is a public service to be doing that. And so I'm very happy that that we have created a place at WFYI where that's a kind of space where that's possible, and where people understand that they can come and be heard, and be heard in a thoughtful way.
Should ask real quickly, just before we head to break, we've talked about the fact that we're using this show now more as a way to present new big projects FYI is doing. What might be out there that people would be hearing from in the future?
I don't know. I don't want to scoop myself.
Okay, you don't want to break. You don't want to break it on my show.
I don't want to scoop myself. No, we're working on a couple of projects that will be rolling out in the next over the next while. Eric Weddle, who's our education reporter, may have talked with you about the year he's spending at Arlington High School as it transitions back into control from under IPS control. So we'll be hearing more of his stories in the coming weeks.
We cannot wait. If you are just joining us, we're talking about the fifth anniversary of this show. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. This is the, well, actually, tomorrow would be the fifth anniversary of this show going on the air, and we're sort of marking those 5 years today. And this last segment is really going to be your segment. So if you would like to call in and join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. We've gotten a couple of Facebook messages, one from a regular listener named Marion who says, thank you for giving those of us who advocate for the earth and the animals, especially our farmed food animals and the devastating effect of industrialized animal agriculture on our food supply, communities, and the environment. We need public dialogue, and you are a light in the tunnel. Blessings, and keep up the good work. We need you. Thank you very much, Marion. Again, I'll accept on behalf of a lot of good people who put this show together. We also have another Facebook message from a listener named Ben who says, thanks so much for your show, and I wish to you happy fifth anniversary. I came to Indiana as a student from overseas, and listening to your show has improved my English listening and speaking. Well, thank you very much, Ben, for listening to us, and thank you for the kind words. One of the questions that I get a lot about the show is who's the one who sort of produces the biggest reaction. And while we have many guests who bring with them a huge following, there is one guy who is in a category all by himself. Richard Miles alluded to him a little while ago, and that is Indianapolis author John Green, the author of The Fault in Our Stars and Paper Towns and other books. He's been on the show twice. Both times we have heard from people as far away as Brazil and Japan. The second time he was on the show, as Richard said, he broke the internet. He crashed the WFYI website because so many people were trying to stream the show from around the world. We're going to listen to a little bit from that interview right now. Did you have any trepidation about it being made into a movie?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's difficult because you that's when your control ends. The only decision that you can make is whether to sell the rights. And if you do, then you don't have any more decisions. You don't have any more control. I was really lucky that the people who were involved in the movie cared about what I thought. And so from the beginning, I've been able to be involved in any way that I wanted to be. And they've always listened to me very carefully. And it's been a really wonderful experience, but I also know that that's quite rare. You know, I've also had terrible experiences in Hollywood, so this has been a very blessed.
What have been some of the terrible ones?
Well, I mean, all of my other
you can
books
protect
were,
the name yeah. names of the guilty.
Yeah, I'm
going to
try not to.
To.
I'm not going to name anybody, but all of my previous books were optioned and you know developed to one extent or another, and I tried to adapt one of my own books, Paper Towns, a few years ago, and that was a disaster on many levels, starting with me being a terrible screenwriter. But it was all of those experiences really went into this one and allowed me to maybe have a little more perspective than I have in the past.
We've gotten a question from a listener who didn't want to go on the air named Jennifer, who says, your novel, The Fault in Our Stars, is becoming an on-screen film. Will it be the same as the novel, or will the viewers see some differences?
Well, it won't be the same because books are made of text. Like, the magic of reading to me is that you have to be an active participant in the creation of the narrative, because those words are just meaningless scratches on a page until you bring your intellect to them and translate them into ideas that live in your head.
I mean, the action has
exactly. It takes place inside your mind, and that's just a very different experience than an image-driven narrative or a sound-driven narrative, and I think movies are both. So it's always going to be different. And of course, if you're condensing a 350-page novel into 2 hours, there's some stuff that's going to be lost. But all of that noted, I think it's an extraordinarily faithful adaptation, one of the most faithful adaptations I've seen.
Was that important to you that they adhere to what you'd done?
I told them over and over again, I don't care if it's faithful, I care if it's good.
Okay.
So, but they managed to do both.
We are talking with author John Green here on No Limits. If you would like to join the conversation, please call us at 1-866-476-3881. Thomas, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi. What's on your mind?
I'm wondering, why was the movie filmed in Pittsburgh and not Indiana? I'm wondering, how are they going to recreate like Holiday World, since it is Holiday Park, since it is in the story some?
That's a great
Thanks
question.
Thanks very much for the call and question, Thomas.
They did not film the movie in Indiana because it would have cost a lot more money to do so, because Indiana doesn't have tax breaks, and also because the states that do have tax breaks, like Pennsylvania, have a lot more They have really experienced crews who have been making movies full time for 20 years. So they filmed it in Pittsburgh. The answer to your question is that the parks are recreated. Like, there's a really important scene in the novel that takes place at Funky Bones, a couple scenes actually. And both of those are in the movie. Funky Bones is a sculpture at the IMA's Art and Nature Park.
Mm-hmm.
And they just recreated Funky Bones. It was the most extraordinary thing I've ever seen. I brought my wife, who curated the project, to Pittsburgh that day, and she couldn't tell the difference. So they worked really, really hard to make it look and feel like Indianapolis. So we just had to find some flat streets in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was going to say that Pittsburgh is not the first city I would think of as a stand-in for.
No.
Omaha, maybe. But,
yeah, well, the nice thing about Pittsburgh is that it does have the kinds of neighborhoods that I was writing about. But, North Central High School was really great about providing lots of stuff, so that which is where Gus goes to high school. They were awesome. So I really think it's going to look and feel like Indianapolis. But I was a little bummed out that they couldn't make the movie here, but it would have been prohibitively expensive.
That was Indianapolis author John Green, who appeared on our show in 2014 and was talking about The Fault in Our Stars and the making of it back then. This show that we're doing right now is marking the 5th anniversary of No Limits being on the air. We're taking a look back at some of the more memorable moments. One of the other things that people ask me is how we manage to keep the conversation civil and to keep people on point. And I will say, generally, that is not a difficult task, but we have talked about some very volatile and divisive issues on this program: same-sex marriage, gun control, gun rights. And the one that probably people seem to remember the most was a program we did about school vouchers that grew quite heated. And I think also gives you a sense of the commitment we have to making sure that the conversation is civil and informative rather than simply angry. We're going to listen to a little bit of that show that involved Friedman Foundation President and CEO Robert N. Lowe and Fort Wayne Community School Board President Mark Giaquinta, along with a school voucher parent named Karina Chrysler.
98% of these vouchers go to Christian, Muslim, Jewish schools. And there is very little, if any, financial oversight, and you don't, as a taxpayer, have the right to ask them how they're spending your money, nor do they have to keep records of who they reject. So when we talk about choice, it's choice of religion for those whose kids are, first of all, their parents do make the choice, so their parents are involved. If we're going to compare statistics on educational performance, they're starting with children whose parents are involved, and after they get the voucher, it extends to siblings whose parents have already made the choice. They're already in the school, so they're not making a choice, really. That choice is already made, and then they get a voucher. Ultimately, the taxpayers of this state have to decide this. Are we ready to fund about 90,000 more parochial students to the tune of $450 million with no financial oversight?
Okay, let me let Mark, hold on.
So, a couple things here that we need to talk about since this show is built off of reasoned discussion. One, I didn't know you knew more than the Indiana Supreme Court, who actually says that this is not aid to religious schools, it's aid to parents. So unless you actually have a degree that the Indiana Supreme Court and the United States Supreme Court says, this is actually aid to families. Degree. Now, hold on, second of all, the families who are using this are vastly low income. 80% of the families are free and reduced price lunch qualified. It's families who are in need who want these programs. Third of all, the great thing about the voucher system in Indiana is that if you're failing to perform, you're going to not be able to get the money necessary to continue after 2 years because they start saying you can't get the money continually. That doesn't happen in our traditional school system. We'll keep in 7, 8, 9 years when they're failing. The 20% that are in Fort Wayne, all that are their DRF. You know, this fact is the grading system from the state of Indiana. You can dispute that with Glenda, not me. The other thing is if we think that the money being spent in Indiana in education, barring the decrease in, I think it was 2008-09, we know that in America and in Indiana the same, money being spent on public schooling in America has gone up fourfold over inflation. So either we're saying we're unable to do it with the money we have, or we're saying these kids are just too difficult for us to educate. And I know Karini will say that's not true. Fact is we are trying to make sure that all kids get a quality education, both public, private, and charter.
If we were really trying to do that, we would fund public education the way the rest of the country funds it. We would get children into our schools at a point where windows are opening and closing in their brains. Vocabulary makes a huge difference.
And so then we would have a two-tiered system that we have now.
And that is what we're not doing. What I would say to Karenya, and this is really critical.
Just a second. Mark, we're going to have to go into a break, but thank you very much. We are talking about school vouchers here on No Limits. And as we talk about education today, we want you to know that this program is part of American Graduate, a public media initiative funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to help address the dropout crisis. The initiative builds on our commitment to education through conversations and partnerships between public radio and television stations and local schools, businesses, and community organizations to help students stay on the path to a high school diploma. I am John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, executive editor of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We are talking about school vouchers here on No Limits. My guests are Robert Enlow of the Friedman Foundation, Mark Giaquinta, who is a Fort Wayne Community School Board member, and Karenya Chrysler, who is a voucher parent. We're obviously having a very lively discussion here, and I want to make sure as we continue the discussion that everybody has a chance to be heard. So I guess I'm going to set some ground rules going forward here. One person talks at a time, and it'll be, well, since we're all in the education business, we're going to pretend I'm the teacher. I decide who talks at what time, and when I ask people to let someone else speak, I will expect that to be respected. That was a rather heated conversation we had about school vouchers 2 years ago on this program. If you are just joining us, we are celebrating the 5th anniversary of No Limits on the Air by revisiting some memorable moments. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do what a listener named Avery did and reach out to us via Twitter. Avery says, happy 5th anniversary. Great program, informative and inclusive. Avery, thank you very much again on behalf of a lot of people who put this program together. And you've hit on a theme there that actually we haven't talked about yet. So I appreciate the tweet from you. We do try to be inclusive. We try to get as many different viewpoints as possible on this program. If there is a complaint I get from listeners the most, it is that I don't tell guests that they are wrong occasionally, more often. And that's really not the function of the show. I'll say that we try to get people who have as many different beliefs as possible in here, as many different experiences, and have them come in and talk about both what they know and what they believe in a way in which that kind of conversation will be respectful, but also so that it will allow the audience to arrive at, members of the audience to arrive at their own conclusions. I like to tell people when they come onto this show as guests that they do not have to talk down to the audience. They don't have to boil things down into easily digestible sound bites. That we have one of the smartest audiences involved. We're coming close to the end of the program, and I want to leave you with just a little bit more from former Indianapolis Mayor Bill Hudnut. This, again, is part of the discussion that is going to be featured in a WFYI television program next Thursday at 7:30 here in Indianapolis called Bill Hudnut, Twilight Reflections, Evening Meditations. We've gotten a question from a listener named Ellen who says, fondly remember seeing Mayor Bill on TV giving updates during the blizzard of 78. Even though I wasn't an Indianapolis resident, I found it comforting to see him in his stocking cap providing reassurance on how the situation was being handled. I have often thought that his background as a clergyman helped in providing everyone with a balm of comfort during a trying time. I would like to know how often during his political career did he rely on his theology to handle policy and situations. And then she closes with best wishes to both of you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the message. And the answer is that I did not believe in wearing my religion on a sleeve when I was out in public life and vice versa. I tried to avoid, when I was invited to preach at different churches, I tried to avoid politics. And when I was asked, for example, at an event in public, to say the grace, I usually would say I respectfully decline because I don't want to mix the two. And I felt that my religion, and there are people who disagree with this, but I'm a mainstream Protestant type, and I felt that it was important to emphasize that your faith and your religion are, as it were, leaven in the bread that can't be seen rather than icing on the cake.
That was former Indianapolis Mayor Bill Hudnut. If you'd like to hear all of that interview, you can hear it on our archives at WFYI.org. We're getting to the close of this fifth anniversary show, and I want to wrap it up by saying some thank yous. I'd like to thank, obviously, all of the folks at WFYI and the good folks at Franklin College who allow me to do this. But specifically, I'd like to thank the people who do the real hard work in putting this show together every week. Shannon Cagle, Michelle Johnson, Joe Hatcher, Melissa Davis, Abby Terzini, Cedric Freeman, all of the folks who have worked on it in the past. My most profound thank you, though, is to the folks who listen to it week after week. We are really, really grateful that you make this part of your lives. I am John Kroll. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.